We're going to spend most of our time reflecting on this first letter, but you recognize this, I'm sure. This is the beginning of our Lord's public ministry, as Luke portrays it. He went back to Nazareth. He had been elsewhere and had been teaching in their synagogue and was praised by all. But he goes back to Nazareth, and there, as was the custom for a visitor who was respected, to read the text. And so they give it to him to read, and he reads. It's difficult to know. Did they have readings that were set out? Seems they did, you know, like today you read this, next week you read that, and so forth. Says he found. Does that mean he found it himself? Look for it and found it? Or that's what, he opened up and that's what he was supposed to read. In any event, he read this passage as the passage that governs his whole ministry. This is the passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That's the gospel to the poor. To proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind. That's his ministry. That's what he's sent to do. And let the oppressed go free. And so it's a way of seeing, like all of our Lord's ministry, those years that he was preaching and teaching and healing and performing miracles, it's this text that explains what he was all about. And that's why Luke, you know, does it this way. I kind of, it's important, and I don't want to go on too long, you know, for us to realize that for the ancients, writing about someone, time and place are not the big issues. Did this really happen before this? Or was he here or was he there? It's amazing. For them, that's not important. And it's very important for us to grasp that, because you could crack your poor head trying to figure out, well, now, according to Mark and Matthew, the way he began his public ministry was to be walking along the sea, remember, and call the disciples. And when he got here, there wasn't anybody liked him a lot. And he couldn't even work many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And this is the way Luke starts. Well, now, if you have to put all that together in a chronological order, you're going to have a problem. But it's just that that isn't... You see, they didn't have our technology where we control... You know, what is technology? Well, it means technique, right? It means skill in doing stuff. And we're good at that. But the way we do it is you dominate it. You have to. You have to dominate the qualities of steel before you can build a bridge. So if you're going to write the life of somebody, you have to dominate it. He did this, they did this, then he did this, and this happened before this. But they don't think that way. In fact, the influence of the West on the East, speaking of the Middle East, was enormous in just this point. To this day, everybody but Americans and Germans, you know, are late for everything. You ever notice that? They're not late. You know, it's arbitrary. However, I say that because if you take it seriously and look at the text, you're going to say somebody doesn't have it straight. Well, you have to define straight. You know, they're trying to mediate to you a knowledge and a love of Jesus. And Luke wants to put this text right at the top. This is, explains our Lord Jesus Christ and his whole ministry. Okay, now we got to get to work. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. That's very important. That's very important. In fact, you learn in theology that God doesn't love us because we're good. It's His love that makes us good. Suppose I love Eric because I see such great qualities in him, you see? I'm attracted to him. My love follows his goodness. So we think God's love follows our goodness. No way. We have no goodness. God's love creates the goodness in us. Understand? Makes a difference. So we love God because he gave us that love. And that gets, the clearer that gets, the more we're enamored of a God who came and did this for us. Is that clear? Anybody out there? Yeah. It's not clear. It is clear. It's very important. Because now he's going to move along and say, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. No way. It's the same in Matthew's gospel. Well, Matthew particularly. What's the first and greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And the second is like it. It's the same love. That's why you can't choose. We love our neighbor with the same love with which we love God. That's the love God gave us. And we can't distinguish. I mean, I really love you, God, but these people. You can't do that. And if you do it, you're a liar. The touchstone of whether you love God or not is how well you love and forgive everybody else. Because it's the same love. And it works, see, it's worked in us by the same Holy Spirit. There aren't two loves, one for God and one for people. There's only one love. And that's what he's trying to teach us, you see. Whoever does not love a brother whom he sees cannot love God whom he has not seen. Because it's the same reality. Yes, our love follows upon goodness. Well, what if there's no goodness there? It's impossible. But our love can do, imitate God's love. It can build goodness. Hasn't that ever happened to you? Somebody's love has built you up and made you better than you were? See? So in that sense, our love can imitate God's because it's a share in God's love. Commenting on this is Augustine, and it's got commentary on this first letter, which is so beautiful. And, you know, right in here, whoever loves knows God, and whoever doesn't love doesn't know God. Not exactly the way John says it, but you know that. And Augustine says, what does that mean? If you love, you know God. He says, this is what it means. Love your brother. Love your sister. And then look inside of you to see where that love comes from. And there you will see, as far as you are able, God. Genuine love is coming from God. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother because it's the same love. And whatever you do to others, I count as done to me, he says, right? Then we have one of these, there's three people, I guess I can say, who merit this description. Begotten by God. What does that mean? Begotten by God means share his life. my Father begot me, I have share in his life. In a much more enormous way, God begot me, and I share his life. You see? So whoever loves God must also love his brother. Whoever believes, this whoever, in the text, it's all who. First we had all who practice justice, righteousness, are begotten by God. That was back in the other chapter. And then we have whoever loves is begotten by God. And then the final one, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is begotten by God. In other words, these are the signs of divine life. One commentator, a very fine commentator, writing his commentary on 1 John, called it the tests of life, or the vital signs. You see, what are the vital signs that we're Christian? We practice righteousness. We love and we believe. So everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. Now, I wish we had time to develop this next one, but we don't, but I want you to at least think about it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one begotten by him. And now listen to this. In this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. Lots of people walk around kind of implying that they're really nicer than Jesus. You know what I mean? Priests have to watch this. You know, Jesus says birth control is wrong, but, you know, I can tell you it's all right. That's a very dangerous position. And there's no love there because, you see, we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. That's how we start loving the children of God. Because it's the same love. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. I'd love, you know, in all your spare time today, to meditate on that. For us, obedience and all that, that's one thing. And love, that's something else, right? And he's saying, no, they are the same. If you know, this is how we know we love God. We keep his commandments. So then you have to worry, well, why is God always giving us these commandments, you see? Because he loves us. He wants us to share his life. He wants us to share his thoughts, his desires, forever. So that's why he gave his commandments in the first place. And you know, we're so lucky. It's in the book of Baruch, where it says, O Israel, how fortunate we are, because what pleases God has been made known to us. How lucky we are, we have the law. We can obey God.